Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Three people were injured in a shooting this morning at a high school in Great Mills, Maryland. Here's Sheriff Tim Cameron.
A male school student produced a handgun in one of the hallways and shot another female student. There was also an additional student that was wounded in that same hallway. Our SRO, school resource officer, that was in the school was alerted, quickly engaged the shooter. The shooter and the SRO exchanged shots. The incident ended there.
He also said the shooter then passed away after he got to the hospital. A hazmat team is investigating a package at a FedEx facility in Austin, Texas. This comes only a few hours after a bomb went off at a FedEx building outside San Antonio. Correspondent Omar Villafranco.
Law enforcement sources are telling us what they're going to look for is some of the debris that's inside of that explosion from the bomb itself.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends, to laugh and to share. Tragically, addiction to alcohol and drugs can ruin that. Isn't it time to make a change? If drugs and alcohol is a problem in your life or someone you care about, it's time to make a change. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Programs have been offering amazing life-changing results since 1998. The Watershed Addiction Treatment Program has successfully helped over 50,000 people get their life back. The Watershed knows how to help you recover and promises to help you begin your change. Your new life can begin right now with just one simple call to 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. That's 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com. We are open 24/7 and all calls are confidential and free. Call now. 877-480-4777 or online at thewatershed.com.
When asked about whether President Trump might fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller, House Speaker Paul Ryan had this to say.
I've received assurances that his firing is not even under consideration. We have a system based upon the rule of law in this country. We have a justice system, and no one is above that justice system.
Jacksonville, Alabama is one of the places in the South reeling after yesterday's severe weather. Hail, strong winds, and tornadoes did some damage. Johnny Smith is the mayor there.
I think when you look at all the damage around the area and realize we had no fatalities, that's really a blessing as well.
Plenty of weather troubles across the U.S. With more, here's Westwood One's John Trout.
Weather woes across the nation. In California, due to heavy rain and the potential for mudslides, some areas there are under mandatory evacuations. Widespread damage overnight in the southern U.S. tore through the area near Jacksonville State University, causing significant damage, that is.
This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Alaroot. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a 1 ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
A happy celebration today at Buckingham Palace, and many people are saying it's long overdue.
In the town where I was born.
Today is a big day for Ringo Starr. The Beatles drummer and sometimes vocalist went before Prince William today at Buckingham Palace. Here's correspondent Vicki Barker.
The 77-year-old knighted for services to music. Now, that's a royal understatement. Starr's last such trip to Buckingham Palace was in 1965 as one of four Beatles.
We had a lot of fun because there was four of us, and I was a bit shaky today on my own.
He hasn't figured out yet if he's allowed to be called Sir Ringo. The knighthood has him as Sir Richard Starkey, his real name. As for the medal that comes with it...
I'll be wearing it at breakfast.
Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
Today is a special holiday. March 20th is the day that was set aside to make the world a much happier place. With details on why, here's John Clements.
Live Happy is an organization designed to encourage people to do exactly that. Happy people tend to be more successful, live longer, connect better with family and friends, miss less work, and donate more. Live Happy organizer Deborah Hines tells us when you look back at life, it's what you see.
I lived a life of meaning. I lived a life where I made a difference. I lived a life where I matter. Ultimately, it's taking the steps to build that into your life that are far more likely to make you happy than chasing a car or a house.
I'm John Clemens.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, handyman extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! We're going to be talking rules of engagement today. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
In full transparency, I feel a bit like Todd Rundgren today. I just want to bang the drum, Denny. But here I am, ready to deliver the news, like a good soldier.
Hoo-ah! Let's do that, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Aspey looks like a happy guy. We'll hear from him as he shares warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking strong and, well, not so military. You hurt your back again, huh?
Yeah. You know, people keep telling me that I can't act like I'm 20 years old anymore, and I think they're right. So from now on, I'm going to act like I'm 22 years old.
That makes sense. You know, they're totally correct. The challenge is that your body knows it, but your brain doesn't.
Yeah.
That's my problem.
Yeah.
Not that either of us have problems or anything, but...
That's right, Colonel.
Anyway, I hope you have all gone to the Frontlines of Freedom website and are looking at the fairly short movie, Admissions USA. It's about dealing with enemies and getting into heaven. It will make you think. Look at the blog on frontlinesoffreedom.com for the link to the movie and watch it. It's free. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel, I'm going to suggest that NATO is falling apart. Wait till you hear what Germany is not doing. David Bo Boglanio is a retired airborne judge advocate. He's a retired civilian police officer and an expert on the rules of engagement and use of force. He's a published author of several books, including one entitled Fighting Today's Wars. This guy's a sharp guy. Then we're going to talk about energy and national defense with Captain James McCormick from the North Carolina-based Veterans for Energy. And we'll talk about the challenges of transgenders in our military with Elaine Donnelly, the chair of the Center for Military Readiness.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We do welcome your input to this show. Do send us your ideas through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. Lead out, Josh. What's first?
Adding further details to our reporting from last week, President Trump has said he'd meet with North Korean President Kim Jong-un, a move which has made Un look like a real leader in the world, and which made it clear that President Trump would do whatever was necessary to denuclearize North Korea, preferably in a way short of war. But did you know that Trump has added some conditions to his visit? Kim Jong-un must first demonstrate concrete steps towards disarming before our president will meet with him. At a press briefing, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said, "The president will not have the meeting without seeing concrete steps and concrete action taken on the vague promises North Korea has made to South Korean envoys on denuclearization and halting its nuclear and missile tests." Sanders did not define the concrete steps or suggest how they might be verified, but said the North had to follow through on the promises they've made before Trump will participate in a summit that is scheduled to take place before the end of May. In a tweet, Trump hailed the prospect of meeting face-to-face with Kim to forge a path to peace on the peninsula. Sanders made the comments as the U.S. and South Korea renewed their resolve to go ahead with long-planned joint military exercises that will continue into May. Pentagon spokespeople declined to give a start date for the full Eagle and Key Resolve training exercises, but South Korean news outlets, citing their defense officials, said the annual Full Eagle war game, running 2 months or longer, was expected to begin sometime after April 1st. North Korea's Un, who has denounced previous Full Eagle exercises as practice for an invasion, has asked that Full Eagle and Key Resolve either be cut short or scaled down, but said that the exercises would not affect the proposed talks with Trump, according to South Korea's top envoy to the North. South Korean Defense Minister Song Yong-moo suggested earlier this week to Admiral Scott Swift, commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, that the U.S. might leave nuclear submarines out of the mix of naval forces in the Full Eagle exercises, as a gesture to the North. But Admiral Swift rejected the proposal.
The absolute goal is the total denuclearization of North Korea by whatever means necessary. Obviously, negotiations are a better way to solve the problem if they work. But the main goal must be achieved, and soon. We can't risk the loss of U.S. cities at the whim of an unstable dictator.
President Trump pardoned a Navy sailor who took photos of classified areas inside a submarine and served a year in federal prison. Christian Saucier was pardoned by Trump, and White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders said the president was appreciative of his service to the nation. He has been recognized by his fellow service members for his dedication, skill, and patriotic spirit. Trump had referenced Saucier's case often when criticizing Democratic rival Hillary Clinton for her use of a private email server. In a January tweet, he referred to the Deep State Justice Department and criticized the agency for jailing a sailor instead of a top Clinton aide. It was Trump's second pardon as president. He earlier pardoned former Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. Saucier's attorney said his client was ecstatic. He's so grateful that the president saw there was an injustice in this matter, and he took action on it. Saucier pleaded guilty in 2016 to unauthorized detention of defense information for taking photos inside the USS Alexandria while it was stationed in Groton, Connecticut in 2009. Saucier had said previously that he had only wanted service mementos, but federal prosecutors argued that he was a disgruntled sailor who had put national security at risk by taking photos showing the submarine's propulsion system and reactor compartment, and then obstructed justice by destroying a laptop and camera. Saucier claimed his prosecution was driven by sensitivity about classified information amid the scandal involving Hillary Clinton's emails. Saucier of Arlington, Vermont, was a 22-year-old machinist mate on the nuclear-powered attack submarine when he took the photos. His lawyer said he knew the photos would be classified, but he wanted to show his family what he did in the Navy. He denied sharing the photos with any unauthorized recipient.
I appreciate the fact that our president is willing to pardon service members who have been prosecuted for doing little or nothing wrong. Hey, Mr. President, how about looking at First Lieutenant Clint Lawrence, who's been in a military prison for directing fire against the enemy in combat? There's a guy who deserves a pardon because he did absolutely nothing wrong.
Russia says it recently successfully launched a hypersonic missile, which President Putin called an ideal weapon, when he unveiled a new array of next-generation military arms. The high-precision Kinzhal, or Dagger missile, was launched from a MiG-31 supersonic interceptor jet. The Russian Defense Ministry added that the launch went according to plan. The hypersonic missile hit its target. The ministry released video footage showing two pilots gearing up for a flight and then running towards a jet with a large missile slung beneath its underbelly. Set to rousing patriotic music, the video then shows a missile detaching from the airborne plane and gliding across the dark sky, leaving a fiery trail behind. This was one of an array of new weapons Putin unveiled in his State of the Nation address earlier this month, ahead of a presidential election on March 18 that he is all but guaranteed to win. Putin said the missile flies at 10 times the speed of sound and can overcome air defense systems. Putin says the missile has been deployed since December 1st. Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin said on Facebook that work had also been done to modernize the unique MiG-31 supersonic jet that will carry the missile. The Defense Ministry reports that since the start of the year, over 250 sorties have been carried out by MiG-31s to perfect the work of the missile systems.
Russia is a serious threat to our nation and our allies. They are clearly growing and modernizing their military. We'd better have a military capacity that can confront them if it becomes necessary. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we're going to talk with retired military lawyer about how we should fight. This will really be cool or maybe annoying. At East Troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coria with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
And not to mention the shedding, I would vacuum the carpet 3 times a week. Frodo was scratching all night long, bouncing on the side of the bed, keeping me awake the whole entire night from all the scratching and chewing. It kind of makes you neurotic.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy?
Mounds and mounds of fur all over the place.
Come to Dinovite for help.
Dinovite.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
Dinovite is nutrition.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
Our vitamins and enzymes replace the nutrients cooked out of most commercial dog foods.
He gobbles it up. He's not up all night scratching. His shedding is minimal, and it is such a pleasure to have my calm, relaxed, non-shedding puppy back. And I have to thank Dinovite for that.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dinovite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
Join us for a fun-filled evening at the Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers annual fundraiser, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. at Lone Eagle Brewing, 44 Stangle Road, Flemington. Craft beer tasting, great food, door prizes, live music, and a 50-50 raffle. Tickets are $50 each, and sponsorship advertising opportunities are available. Please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-437-0126. We'll have a barrel of fun.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and the fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. World War I was a stalemate until the U.S. got involved and the Allied side was able to defeat the German Empire. World War II in Europe was quite similar. After World War II, when it became clear that the Soviet Union had territorial goals in Western Europe, NATO sprang into existence, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was always headed by a U.S. general. We worked well together, each nation maintaining a strong military, until the USSR dissolved. They literally spent themselves into disaster. They literally dissolved. At that point, NATO lost its primary focus, defending Europe, and started falling apart. For the last decade or so, NATO's been a joke. When then-President Obama foolishly got us involved in the Libyan civil war, we really saw NATO's weakness. Europe really wanted Libya's dictator Gaddafi to be overthrown, so we sent our aircraft to support the rebels for a while. Then we told our European NATO allies that they'd have to take over the air support for the Libyan rebels. And all of Europe couldn't get together enough aircraft to take over the mission from one of our aircraft carriers. NATO was a paper tiger then, and it's gotten worse. All this while Russia has a very large and modern forces in the Scandinavian area and is a real threat. The biggest and most wealthy nation in Western Europe is Germany, and their military is literally falling apart. 3 years ago, Germany's military made headlines when it used broomsticks instead of machine guns during a NATO exercise due to a shortage of equipment. The lack of real weapons has been seen as symptomatic of how underfunded its military has long been. Now, one Russian annexation later, if anything, the state of affairs has only gotten worse. The German commissioner for the armed forces has reached the conclusion that the German military is virtually not deployable for collective defense. Independent Commissioner Hans-Peter Bartels also indicated that Germany was unprepared for the possibility of a larger conflict. Last October, reports noted that not a single German military submarine was operational, this at a time when Russian submarine operations in the Baltic Sea were raising new concerns. The German assault rifle stops functioning in hot weather or if it overheats. Bundeswehr pilots are using choppers owned by a private automobile club to practice because so many of their helicopters are in need of repair. And about half of all the tanks were out of order as recently as last November, which left the country with only 95 functioning tanks. So who is defending Germany, and if they don't care, why should we? U.S. lawmakers recently pressed U.S. General Scarpirati, the NATO commander, over concerns that some allies are not paying their mandatory dues required to build up a defense against Russian aggression. The current requirement is for each nation to spend 2% of its GDP for defense. Indeed, the Trump administration has long criticized some NATO members for failing to invest enough money into defense and relying on us to shoulder the majority of the burden. Listen to this, folks. Scarpirati told the Senate that threats facing NATO have changed dramatically over the past 5 years. Quote, Russia is carrying out a campaign of destabilization, to change the international order, fracture NATO, and undermine U.S. leadership around the world, he said in his opening statement. Quote, as seen on land and in the air, and frankly in every domain, Russia's increasingly modernized military is operating at levels not seen since the Cold War, he said. Schiaparelli cited changes such as new cyber warfare capabilities and precision weapons, threats that require support for building a relevant defense. NATO members have had to invest in this, he said. Quote, they have to have a force that is relevant. It's for their own population security, but it's also good for the NATO alliance. Schiaparelli said that NATO really needs three requirements from its members: cash, contributions, and capabilities. It's not one or the other. 2% is a reasonable amount given the threat we are under today, he said. A senator asked how worried Congress should be about reports suggesting that some of the bigger NATO allies are not as prepared as they should be. Quote, I think we should continue to press them to meet the standards, Schiaparelli said. NATO has very well laid out standards and the expectations of the forces that nations provide, and we should continue to press them to be a part of this defense. The alliance is strong as long as every member is strong and does their part. Troops, I think this means that NATO is very, very weak. And I think that Russia is planning a land grab in Scandinavia. It appears that some NATO nations aren't really concerned. Clearly, Germany isn't. Could it be that they're developing a relationship with Russia? I don't know. The big question is, how many U.S. dollars and troops should we place in Europe if the natives don't seem to care enough to invest in their own defense? And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom, and we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Okay, how many lives are saved by U.S. Coast Guard drones searching for lost mariners off the coast of the United States? Well, that number is exactly zero. Each and every day, somewhere in the world, a drone is assisting in search and rescue operations. Drones have become so popular and useful that even small groups of beach lifeguards are using them. Yet, one of the largest rescue organizations in the world, the U.S. Coast Guard, is still not using drones for search and rescue. And it's not due to a lack of foresight. The U.S. Coast Guard began research and development back in 2009 when it started conducting joint maritime unmanned aerial operations with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. They were mainly using a version of the Predator drone, which was renamed the Guardian. And it's not due to a lack of need. The U.S. Coast Guard has just 3 to 5 ships assigned to patrol about 6 million square miles at any one time. And boy, drones certainly could be of immediate use for both search and rescue and drug interdiction. And it's certainly not due to cost. A Coast Guard rescue helicopter is assessed at over $14,000 per hour. And a fixed-wing airplane, such as a C-130, is even more expensive. We really don't know what the cost for the Coast Guard to deploy drones will be, but in comparison, for the ultra-tech military Predator and Reaper drones, the military spends between $2,500 and $3,500 per hour. So it has to be significantly less than a manned helicopter. And for years, the Navy has been using drones successfully for search and rescue operations, and many small volunteer lifeboat services all around the world carry drones aboard. Even commercial shipping companies are investing in drones, so we know that they can be used at sea. Now, in all fairness to the service I dearly love, the Coast Guard has had a drone acquisition program for many years with the goal of outfitting ships with unmanned aerial vehicles for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. And even this past year, the U.S. Coast Guard started using the Boeing-manufactured Scan Eagle, which is a 10-foot-long drone, similar to what the Marines used in Iraq, and it's launched into the sky from a catapult on the flight deck. However, the Scan Eagle is in response to drug traffickers who have developed new stealth methods of their own, such as homemade submarines and their own drones. In 2016, the Coast Guard set a record, seizing over 240 tons of cocaine, valued at $5.9 billion, and arresting 585 smugglers. What I don't know is why all the news coming from the Coast Guard is only focusing on using drones for drug interdiction and not for search and rescue. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if this has more to do with how the programs are funded than how the Coast Guard might actually use drones. The Coast Guard has always used all the assets at its disposal for search and rescue. I really do think drones will be included in that mix in the very near future. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. You're an amazing guy. I'm glad we're friends. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk the rules of engagement and how our combat troops should fight with former JAG Bull Boglando. Then it's time to discuss the role of energy in national defense. All this is coming up I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the front lines of freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Do 25, then stand at ease.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Amazon offers customers participating in select government assistance programs the benefits of Prime for $5.99 per month. This now includes qualifying recipients of Medicaid. Prime members will receive unlimited, fast, free shipping on more than 100 million items, Prime Video, Prime Music, Prime Reading, Prime Photos, and more, with the ability to cancel anytime. To qualify, customers need a valid EBT or Medicaid card. Pia Arthur, Amazon spokesperson.
We know when people try Prime, they love it. We designed this membership option for customers receiving government assistance to help them access the best of Amazon. To get started, customers will need a valid Medicaid card or electronic benefits transfer card. Customers who join Prime save money and time through our low prices, unlimited premium video and music, as well as our convenient delivery.
For more information or to sign up for a 30-day free trial of Prime, visit amazon.com/qualify.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Three people were injured in a shooting this morning at a high school in Great Mills, Maryland. Here's Sheriff Tim Cameron.
A male school student produced a handgun in one of the hallways and shot another female student. There was also an additional student that was wounded in that same hallway. Our SRO, school resource officer, that was in the school was alerted, quickly engaged the shooter. The shooter and the SRO exchanged shots. The incident ended there.
He also said the shooter then passed away after he got to the hospital. A hazmat team is investigating a package at a FedEx facility in Austin, Texas. This comes only a few hours after a bomb went off at a FedEx building outside San Antonio. Correspondent Omar Villafranco.
Law enforcement sources are telling us what they're going to look for is some of the debris that's inside of that explosion from the bomb itself.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're a CPAP user, soap and water cleaning may leave harmful bacteria, viruses, and mold that can make you sick. That alone will keep you up at night. Until now, SoClean.com is the world's first and only automated, hands-free CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. SoClean kills 99.9% of all CPAP germs without soap, water, harsh chemicals, or even equipment disassembly. And now, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158.
SoClean changed the CPAP experience for the better. My health has improved. It's simple to use, and I'm not worried about infections.
SoClean's revolutionary design makes it easy to clean your CPAP and protect you against CPAP-related illnesses. Plus, SoClean works with all popular CPAP devices to clean them in minutes. It really is that easy. Don't risk your health. Call SoClean.com now to try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 800-768-0158. This offer won't last. Call now. 800-768-0158. 800-768-0158.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a gent who, like me, has jumped out of perfectly good aircraft while in flight. He did it with the 82nd Airborne Division. David Bo Bolgano is a retired judge advocate and a retired civilian police officer. Bo is also an expert on rules of engagement and the use of force. Indeed, he's published a book entitled Fighting Today's Wars. Bo has worked with my friend and former guest on this show, John Meyer. Indeed, they are working together on the Clint-Lawrence case right now. So, welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Bo.
Thank you, sir, for having me aboard.
Bo, tell us about your Army career. Why did you join? What did you do? Or did you become an attorney first before you joined or afterwards?
Well, it's a little circuitous route getting there. My grandfather was a Marine in World War I. My dad was a Marine in the Pacific in World War II. And when I decided to join the Army, they didn't talk to me for a few weeks, but I started out with the intention of going into combat arms. I was a ROTC cadet, and I broke my leg my first time at airborne school. That was while I was still a police officer. I was going to night school at Loyola in Baltimore. So that kind of screwed up my plan, so I continued on with my graduate degree in law while a police officer in Baltimore And then upon graduation, I assessed into the Army JAG Corps, and my first duty station was the 82nd Airborne Division. And that was right prior to Desert Storm, and I deployed with them to Saudi Arabia and Iraq during Desert Storm.
Wow, that's so you were over there for Desert Shield, and I was a contributor to writing that plan. So therefore, I'm glad to know somebody made it over there. And then Desert Storm, the attack portion. So, cool. After you served there, where else did you serve?
I served in 3rd Infantry Division in Germany as Senior Trial Counsel and Chief Operational Law and as a Defense Counsel. Then fast forward to 2001, I went into the reserves and was in the Drug Enforcement Administration and got a call the day after 9/11 to see if I would be willing to go help write the rules of engagement for Operation Noble Eagle, which was the plan for potentially shooting down civilian airliners unlawfully entering our airspace.
Wow.
So after that mission, I got called by General Gary Harrell, who was the commander of Special Operations Command Central, and he asked me if I wanted to come down and do a tour as his command judge advocate for Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, which I did, two tours for General Harrell. And then military schooling kicked in, and I went to the Army War College. And then while there, unfortunately, I got diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic melanoma. And that put a big red flag on my career plans, but the Army was kind enough to keep me there for 2 years as a member of the faculty in the Department of National Security and Strategy, and I retired out of there.
Okay. Then what, you started your own practice, or what you
do? I work of counsel for a law firm called Tully Rinke up in Albany, New York, and in Washington, D.C., but primarily I spend my time as an expert consultant on the use of force, the tactical, ethical, and legal dynamics surrounding deadly force encounters. And I've testified for soldiers, sailors, and Marines from OCONUS incidents, as well as a bunch of police officers in CONUS-based deadly force incidents.
That makes sense. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing, or about to discuss, rules of engagement with Attorney Bo Boglano. Bo, your long suit, or at least one of your long suits, is rules of engagement. And in my not very humble opinion, in the last couple of decades, we've had some of the most horrible, unacceptable rules of engagement that I could imagine. Talk us through rules of engagement. What are they? How do they apply? Where do they apply? Give us rules of engagement 101.
Yeah, 101. If a soldier, sailor, airman, marine kills somebody without lawful authority, that's either negligent homicide, manslaughter, or murder. So there's 7 lawful authorities. 5 of them deal with specialized incidents or nuclear force and things like that. So they're really not relevant to most of our forces. The 2 major authorities are if the president and secretary of defense declare a force hostile, like the Taliban or Alphabet Soup terrorist organizations, you can shoot at them as long as you have positive identification. That's all you need. You can target them. It doesn't matter what they're doing. They're designated hostiles, and it's lawful to engage them. With all the considerations, of course, of you don't want to inflict unnecessary civilian casualties when you're killing them. But the problem is our enemies are not wearing uniforms like the Wehrmacht was during World War II. So the default secondary authority is under our unclassified standing rules of engagement, and that's our inherent right of self-defense. And that's the same authority that police officers have here in the United States that most citizens have, and that's to defend oneself and innocent others against a hostile or imminent threat. And the problem that's coming up is that we're judging our soldiers from the clear vision of 2020 hindsight in occurrences that are happen under situations that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving. Our Supreme Court of the United States has said that peace officers cannot be judged in such hindsight. In fact, they applied that same standard to Title X Army forces in a case called Saucier v. Katz. And it raises the question to me, why are we judging young soldiers post-incident for what are, at worst, mistakes of fact when four stars and senior members are launching Hellfire missiles from Predators, JDAMs, and killing a lot of non-combatants? And that's lawful. I'm not saying that's not lawful, but those four stars and senior leaders have hours, days, sometimes weeks to do those plans. And our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines at the tip of the spear have seconds to make a decision under very trying and stressful circumstances.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been in close combat in Vietnam for two tours, and sometimes you have time to think about it, and sometimes if you take 2 seconds, you're dead. And if you're a leader, you not only have to take care of yourself, you have to take care of your troops. Because my number one point was I want to bring all my soldiers home alive and well as taking care of the mission and taking care of the enemy. So I just can't even imagine being judged like you're describing, yet I know it's happening. There are dozens and dozens of cases, aren't there?
Oh, it is. And my first deadly force encounter was as a peace officer. I shot an armed robber at a McDonald's restaurant. And thank goodness I had experienced seasoned homicide detectives interview me. And they essentially told me, shut up. We're going to tell you what happened. Okay. That they were taking care of me. They're taking me under their wing, making me feel comfortable, showing me the righteousness of my decision. And that righteousness wasn't based on whether I made the right decision. It was whether it was a reasonable decision. That courtesy is not being afforded to our young troops. They're being yanked into tactical operation centers, sometimes 30 minutes post-op, and getting sworn statements taken. They're in no condition to make those sworn statements. And I think a lot of this problem stems from the lack of moral courage on the part of our senior leaders and judge advocates. I take, for example, if Dick Winters and his band of brothers were fighting in Afghanistan today, they would all probably be court-martialed. And that's happening because of a lack of competence. Most of our senior leaders haven't been in close-quarters combat, and our judge advocates aren't properly trained on the dynamics of deadly force encounters. And I always hear this. I hear commanders say, well, I die for my men. But what I turn around and ask them is, okay, well, how many of you would be willing to get a bad efficiency report for your men?
Wow. That's a really good point, Bo. And there's a lot more to discuss on rules of engagement. And Bo is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember. As a national partner with Honor and Remember, Spartan Ash is deeply committed to never forgetting those who paid the ultimate price in service to our country.
The flag serves as a symbol of remembrance, and Spartan Ash flies the Honor and Remember flag at all of our facilities. The flag artwork is on our fleet of tractor trailers, which travel 50 million miles each year.
Learn more at honorandremember.org.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help. Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite. Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free. New improved LicoChops with omega-6, omega-3, vitamin E, and now 6 extra direct-fed microbials. Even better for the digestive tract and immune system. And dogs love it. Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free. This is Henry Lukasevic for Dynavite.
DINOVITE.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Attorney Bo Boglano about how our soldiers can and should fight. We're talking about rules of engagement. Bo, the rules of engagement change. They're not constant. In the last year, have rules of engagement changed? Or are we still seeing the same kind of thing happening?
Well, I think our Commander-in-Chief's intent is a loosening of the tactical directives. I don't know if that is permeating down through the layers of command, because remember, we had, 8 years plus of very political, timid leadership in this regard.
Yeah, to interrupt you there, that means the people who got promoted to senior rank, officer and enlisted, had to buy in or they wouldn't got promoted, right?
That's exactly right. And that's not saying all of them. There's some very
No, that's not everybody.
There, but it oftentimes, if you put your head above the surface, it got pounded back down and the lessons are quickly learned. And I'll give an example. I think everyone here has probably seen the movie American Sniper. And there was that scene in there of the Army soldiers building the 30-foot wall between the Green Zone and Sadr City in Baghdad. And what really happened there is the commander of that brigade, 4th Infantry Division, had his soldiers getting shot by insurgent snipers that were hiding in an abandoned warehouses on the western edge of Sadr City. So he called in SEAL snipers, which was depicted in the movie. But the reality is they couldn't get all the bad guys because the bad guys were hiding back in the thermals in the shadows of the buildings. So after a few more of his soldiers got shot, his commander rightfully called an Apache squadron, fired 4 Hellfires into the abandoned warehouse and dropped the warehouse on the snipers. Absolutely reasonable use of force.
If I was one of those guys, I'd be proud of him.
Absolutely. 2 weeks later, a judge advocate viewing the gun tapes from the Apache battalion, in all of her infinite wisdom, decided that that was an excessive use of force. That ginned up a weeks-long AR-15-6 investigation led by One Star, which found that the commander was in the clear. Despite that, his toxic leader, Two Star Division Commander, gave him a letter of reprimand. Now, what message does that send down to all the people at the tip of the spear? Holy mackerel, my brigade commander just got smacked for doing the right thing. And, you know, this isn't a, I'm not cherry picking stories. You know, I taught at the War College. I had battalion and brigade commanders coming right out of combat. One of my battalion commander students said in a 15-month combat tour, they did 600 AR-15-6 investigations. And I said, dude, when did you have time to command? And he said, exactly.
Well, that's bizarre. I do remember that 4 years ago or something like that, there was a major reinforcement of troops sent overseas, and a huge percentage of them were lawyers. And, well, I probably can't tell as many lawyer jokes as you can. There's a time and a place to have lawyers, and that's not it. On the other hand, you put them there, they're going to do something, right?
Yeah, and I don't like 90% of the civilian lawyers I meet, and I sincerely like 95% of the military judge advocates. They have a good heart. They're there for the right reasons. But the problem is we're not teaching them that competence level of the cardinal virtues being moral courage, competency, self-control, and justice. And we're not teaching that competence. And what I mean by that is rules of engagement at the tactical level are when you write them out on ROE cards, that's trying to use a linear solution for a nonlinear problem.
Yes.
We need to persistently train on situational training exercise to identify threats. And then just like the FBI has done since Louis Freeh was their director, is stand by our men and women, even if they make the so-called wrong decision, so long as that decision's not out of malice. And that type of leadership and lawyering takes moral courage. And we need to get over this silliness that I see in our ROE language. Our standing rules of engagement is still littered with language minimum force. And I rhetorically ask the question, how in the heck do you use minimum deadly force?
Well, if you've ever been shot at, pulling the trigger once is really hard. That trigger just pulls itself, actually. You obviously pull it, but your muscles take over. You're training yourself so your muscles take over. You know, my son's a cop, so I have a lot of respect for cops. And his experience isn't the same as mine. All the parenting in the world is fine, but until you've been shot at, you don't know what it feels like, or until you're close to being shot at. And for people who haven't been shot at to making judgments like that, to me, is stupid. How's that?
Yeah, it's uninformed. And, you know, my co-author, Colonel Jim Patterson, retired U.S. Army Special Forces and JAG Corps, John Taylor, Hayes Parks, a bunch of really smart former and retired judge advocates, we've approached the Army time and time again on this issue, and we get stiff-armed. And it's frustrating because I know especially the young judge advocates, truly in their hearts are trying to do the right thing. But a one-week operational law course in Charlottesville is not enough to tune somebody up to be a battalion command judge advocate. But that's what's happening.
You know, I can't even imagine there being a judge advocate at a battalion, maybe a division. In my time in Vietnam, I'm an old guy. I don't even remember seeing, except at division headquarters, I don't remember seeing JAGs anywhere.
Well, part of the reason that happened is when one of our drawdowns in the last 2 decades, the chief of staff of the Army said all branches will draw down proportionally in numbers. And the JAG Corps cleverly came up with an idea, because lawyers are clever, and putting a JAG at battalion level, thereby keeping their end strength numbers high.
Oh, that is clever. And if I had been there, I'd be proud if I came up with that idea.
Yeah,
except as a guy who's run a battalion, I don't want him there.
Right.
I don't have any use for him.
One of my Special Forces commander buddies was commanding 2-5 Special Forces Group, and he got assigned a young judge advocate captain. And the first day, he asked him to give an ROE briefing, and he stopped him 2 minutes into it and said, "You're relieved." And the JAG came in just trembling, you know, seeing his career go up in smoke. And my friend said, "Well, I'll give you an opportunity to redeem yourself. I'm going to send you out for 2 weeks with an ODA, Operational Detachment Alpha, and live in the field and work with them." And it was funny because he said 2 weeks later, I had to drag the kid out of there. He was having such a good time. He was going out on patrol, learning and what it was like to be at the tip of the spear. And now, but that Special Forces battalion commander was a rare breed.
He
understood how to be a leader, and he didn't kill this kid's career. And the young man turned out to be a pretty darn good judge advocate. But that's not happening enough. And I think it ought to.
I couldn't agree more. Bo, we're about out of time. You wrote a book. What's the name of the book?
A few of them. My first one was Combat Self-Defense. Second was Fighting Today's Wars, which I co-authored with Colonel Jim Patterson. And my latest book was Virtuous Policing, Bridging the Gulf Between America's Police and Populace, which I co-authored with Jim Patterson and Colonel Morgan Banks, an operational psychologist.
Folks, if you like any of those books, email me, Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. I'll forward it on to Bo. I think you'll find those books interesting. Bo, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, but thank you for trying to put some common sense into our military justice system. I'm proud to call you friend.
Thank you. God bless you and same.
Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find outstanding performance of duty and we're privileged to honor the two great pilots. Two A-10 Thunderbolt pilots were recently awarded the Distinguished Flying Cross for providing close air support to Army forces in the fight against the Islamic State in Syria last May. Major Tyler Schultz and Captain Samantha Harvey with the 354th Fighter Squadron at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base was presented with the military's fourth highest medal for that action. They got a call from a joint terminal attack controller in northeastern Syria that ISIS fighters were surrounding U.S. forces had begun a direct assault on their location on the night of May 2, 2017. The two A-10C Thunderbolt fighters coordinated a plan of attack. Harvey beelined into the battlefield for a show of force while Schultz executed four strafe runs directly into the enemy threat. "It was dark, but I had a job to do," Harvey said. "I thought to myself, this is the moment I've been training for." According to reports at the time, the ISIS fighters had been using the area as a staging area to build up their forces before the next offensive from the U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Forces. With Harvey's command and Schultz's response under pressure, the team was able to save more than 50 U.S. personnel with zero casualties. So stand tall, Major Tyler Schultz and Captain Samantha Harvey. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking energy and national defense with Captain James McCormick. Then we'll talk about the impact of transgenders in our military with Elaine Donnelly. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops go somewhere and run some wind sprints through the snow if necessary, then grab some protein and rehydrate with water, and finally put a big smile on your proud to be an American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
For those who have loved ones serving in the military, waiting is a way of life, whether it's by the phone or by the computer. And waiting is not fun, especially when the waiting is for the status of an unexpected injury. Fisher Houses give families of wounded warriors receiving care at military or VA medical centers a home away from home, so they can focus not on waiting, but on being together in a time of need. Learn more at fisherhouse.org.
This report is brought to you by Jazz Pharmaceuticals. Feeling tired on occasion is normal, but how do you know if it's something more? Sleep specialist Dr. Raj Dasgupta joins us during Sleep Awareness Week with more.
Having an irresistible and overwhelming urge to sleep may be a sign of excessive daytime sleepiness, or EDS. People with EDS have a hard time staying awake or alert during the day and doze off at inappropriate times, such as during a meal or in the middle of a conversation. It's important to know the difference between normal and excessive daytime sleepiness because EDS can be a symptom of a sleep disorder like narcolepsy.
If you're having trouble staying awake during the day or experiencing other sleep-related problems, it may be time to talk to your doctor. To learn more about narcolepsy, take the Narcolepsy Symptom Screener, or to find a sleep specialist near you, visit morethantired.com. That's morethantired.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Investigators are looking into a bomb that went off in Texas overnight at a FedEx outside San Antonio. It's the fifth in the state this month. Earlier blasts left two people dead in Austin. At the White House, President Trump says,
"But these are sick people, and we have to find them as soon as possible. We have to find them really immediately."
Police Chief Michael Hansen:
"A package had been traveling along the automated conveyor when it had exploded."
In Great Mills, Maryland, there was gunfire at a high school hallway. Correspondent Bill Rakoff has more.
We're being told by the St. Mary's County Sheriff that the alleged gunman in this incident has died. Two other students remain in critical condition. There's virtually no student presence outside here at the school at all. As the rain continues to fall, they've been told to go to a nearby school to be reunited with parents.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life needs to be enjoyed with family and friends.